I tell you what, I've been hoped a lot. And I sure have. Amen. I got up there in North Carolina years ago, and I called that 3 years up there at Turner's Creek. I called that my interim pastor. And I was up there, and I noticed I had a little different accent. Of course, my oldest daughter, who lost her husband a number of years ago, he had a different accent, and we had a different accent down here. I told somebody the other day, they used to be on Highway 90, now 10. No, not too many people travel Highway 90 from Florida on out to California, somewhere out that way. Most of them, they get on I-10 because they can go a lot faster through there and all. But I remember when I was coming up as a boy, it said on a big old 4x8 sign on the side of the highway there, not too far from where your first pastor was at, Brother Don, at Orange Grove, it said, "Welcome to Mississippi. Only genuine Mississippian spoken here." Amen. So we got our own language. Everybody's got their own language. I used a word up there in North Carolina. It was Washateria. And them boys, they came up. Every time I'd say it, I'd get all kind of looks, you know, and people looking at me. Washateria, that was common spoken language down here. I raised up. And when I went to college, we had to go to Washateria. And this guy asked me one day, he said, "Mel, you keep using that word Washateria." I said, "What do you mean by that?" And I said, "A laundromat." Now, bless you. I mean, everybody got their different language, hadn't they? And it's funny. I love it. I had to learn French, and I cried my way through it. Finally, you talk about some humbling experiences. Hey, God knows what you need. Amen. He knows what I need. And he's got a way of getting what he wants done one way or another through your life. Now, I didn't want him to do that. So he ran me into Vietnam. And I never will forget the 8th of November 1969 when I was picking up buddies that I had flown over with, some of them out of Fort Dix, New Jersey, and Alaska, Hawaii, and then on to Nam. And picking up them boys, and I said, "Lord, it'd be easier for me to stay in your will, wouldn't it? It'd be easier for me just to follow you instead of getting my eyes on people and getting discouraged and disheartened." And when you pick up enough of your friends and you're not able to communicate with them because they're either dead or unconscious because of shrapnel wounds or what have you, you get to thinking about where they're at, sure. But then you get to thinking about where you at in the will of God. I want you to turn with me. I love the little Gospel of John, don't you? I love the Gospel of John. Just spent 2 years in it, finished it up a couple of weeks ago. We've been where we're at now just a tad over 2 years. I thought I was going to get to move back to Mississippi and retire, Brother Kevin, but I came back, and I reckon is if you called, you just got preaching in you, ain't you? I mean, you can't get over it. You might try to get out of it, but it ain't if it's there. Huh? And it ain't of you, and then your mama didn't call you, and your papa didn't send you. I was up amazing. Went off to Clark College down below here, and not too far from where Brother Don's at. And from the first year to the second year, we've got there. We're about, I think we're probably counting the hill men up on the hill, the married guys that lived on the hill, Brother Terry, and all together. I think at that school, we're about 550 students, about 200 of us, 250, something like that, were preachers. But after the first year of it, and we dropped down half in that number, Brother Kevin. They dropped out. Half of them did before that time. And boy, I tell you, some people wasted a lot of money, didn't they? I mean, hey, I had to work my way through. I did everything in the world to make it through there. And I don't regret any of it at all. By the grace of God, in August, I'll be saved 62 years next month. The 8th of April, 1964, my senior in high school, I got licensed to preach. Preached my first sermon, I think it was in March of 64, and then, of course, there on down. And I tell you what, if I'm speaking to any young preachers tonight, two things I want to show you. This ain't the message, but I'll get there in a minute. But two things, if I could share with you. Number one, well, really three, you need to fall in love with Jesus if you're saved. And if you ain't saved, you never will fall in love with him. But if you are, and then two things really, you ought to fall in love with your pastor. You ought to love the man of God that God's put over you. I can look back and last time I saw my pastor alive, Brother Don, he drove over 100 miles. He heard we was home from the mission field. And that was back in 1998, 99, something like he heard we was home. And he drove, I was in Alabama in the missions conference. The man drove over 100 miles to hear me. That was me. I love my pastor. He took me in. My senior high school came up out of a Jehovah's Witness background and all. They was having a book study on Tuesday night. And I would go over and have a Bible study with either him or my Sunday school teacher on Tuesday night. I learned so much under that dear man of God. I'll tell you, my pastor, Brother Kevin Broyhill, that's up in King, North Carolina, followed Brother Roger Baker. Some of my North Carolina brethren know who I'm talking about. Kevin made the greatest compliment, Brother Farrell, I reckon, here 2 or 3 years ago. He said, "You love preachers, don't you?" He said, "You." Better love the man of God. Better not be no backstabber. If he goes wrong, just keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't take it out on everybody and his brother. God bless you. Get along. Spend some time with God. Man, get your heart sweet again. Fall in love with him. Keep on doing that. Constantly. Over and over again. Face the Lord one day, Brother Kevin. I don't want to be guilty of mistreating God's men. Because God's man never did. He took me in like a son. And I treated him like a daddy, Brother Terry, because I never had one. I went off to Bible college. Didn't know who my real daddy was until I was 21 years of age. But I went off to Bible college with one verse of Scripture, Psalm 27 and verse 10. When my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. If you were born back in those years right around the war time or right after the war, we didn't have no transgender problem with them men coming back from the service. No, sir. They weren't looking for men. They'd have been over there smelling all them rotten socks and all that stuff for a year or two or what have you. And so you have to do that. But love the man of God. And then something else I learned too. And my independent brethren, I'm independent. Been one for 50-something years. But 10 years I wasn't when I first got saved. I was convinced all the way. I felt like if you didn't tie up to the corporate program, you wasn't right with God. That's how much of a Southern Baptist I was. And did everything in the world that supposed to, I thought. But there's one thing that my pastor taught me, and I pray I will never get over that. That's not just a love for the man of God because of how he loved me and treated me and helped me and encouraged me, but a love for that institution that became my family, Brother Kevin, that senior year in high school. And then every time I would come home, then went off to college. They had the brotherhood back in them days. Brother Don, I don't know if they still have it or not, but they did. And they helped me on my college build and everything. I learned how to love the Lord's church. Amen. I tell you what, if you don't love the people that you are associated with, fellowshipping with, working with, praying with, playing with, doing what you ought to, hey, I don't know, no hope for you. But I believe this. Romans chapter 5 and verse 5 says one of the works of the Holy Ghost when you're justified by grace through faith, one of those works is to shed abroad in your heart the love of God. Amen. And he'll do that. He'll give you a love for your pastor. He'll give you a love for that body of born again baptized believers that he makes you a part of. He'll put that in your soul and it will be there. Now, I've got 2 hours of message and I need to get it, Jimbo. I got to get it in about 20 minutes, okay? So if you'll just help me and listen fast and pray I won't run too many rabbits like I've already done for the last 10 minutes. I was thinking about that a while ago. If you run a rabbit, just make sure you got enough smoke to get him out of that hole, okay? Just do the best you can on that. We're in John chapter 4. Did I tell you that just a moment ago? I'll try to stay as close to my text as I can. I want to read a few verses with you. I'm not going to read this entire chapter because it would just take too much time and all of that. But look in verse 7. John chapter 4, verse 7. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said, give me to drink for the disciples. Now, I'm trying to just lay out for about 5, 7, 8 minutes here, just sort of give you the context, just to get you the background before we really hammer down on the subject. But verse 8, for his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Now, if you were to go down in the context of it, you read this, you're familiar with the story that takes place here, this Samaritan woman. Mixed breed, been married 5 times, living with an old boy, just the common everyday vernacular that's used in Mississippi, down in the South Mississippi anyway, is shacking. Huh? That's all she was doing. She was shacking up with a number 6, you know. Now, you run that number 6 if you want to, for whatever which way you want to run it, you catch it, and you do what with it what you want to. But now, you're there with me. Go down to verse 27. Now, them boys have been into town. They've been into town, or we'll see here. They've been to get groceries. Jesus has sent them on that errand, and they are in town trying to find some meat. Now, I looked up that little word, meat. It don't mean just a bologna. It don't mean just steak. It don't mean just deer meat, Brother Terry, like we love to eat and all of that. It just means food. They went in, they was run out of groceries is what it was. They want him to go into food. Now, it's getting interesting. Jesus finds himself, and he's confronted by this woman that's got this lifestyle and all. And they go back. They go into town. They come back. And look in verse 27. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left a water pot, went her way into the city, and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? They went out of the city and came unto him. Now, I'm getting down to really where I want to dig in with you on my text. In verse 31, in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. They figured, you know, he'd been without food just like they'd been. They done come back from town with a bunch of groceries, and they're going to get to enjoy them together. And they come to our master, their master, and saying, Master, eat. Verse 32. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. And that's what I thought. I read that, and I read the context and tried to put it all together. And I got thought that, you know, a good title would be Eating Jesus' Meat. Eating Jesus' Meat. Why was he not hungry for their meat that they had brought him? Huh? He had been occupied in the greatest work that any born-again child of God, don't have to be no preacher, no evangelist, no missionary, but any born-again child of God who's got a story to tell because that story has worked for him or for her ought to be ready to get involved in this kind of work. I'm amazed. I mean, I come out of a Jehovah's Witness background, and I had Jehovah's Witness feet, but it did not affect my heart like the gospel did. But when the gospel, dear friends, penetrated my old wicked, ungodly, lost, hopeless, helpless hell, when it reached into me and did something for me, I found out I couldn't keep it quiet about it. Huh? I don't understand. Everybody's saved, couldn't miss heaven, Brother Ernest, if they wanted to. But they don't ever want to talk about Jesus to anybody. They want to keep him for Sunday morning and don't let him get out of the house. I don't understand that. I mean, I've been saved to going on 62 years. The next morning, well, after I got saved, I'm sitting there, Papa and Mama that raised me, Uncle Gene, and Aunt June, they were sitting there, and I shared my testimony. Actually, the night before, when I went home from that revival meeting, I went in there and shook my grandma and said, Mama, I got saved tonight. Went back over to sleep. I said, man alive, this thing's exciting me. It's thrilling me. It's just giving me something I ain't never had before. And so, I didn't understand. Next morning, best treatment I could have ever gotten in the world. I mean, the dose of whatever to knock COVID in the back seat. I mean, really, what I needed. I said, hey, I got saved last night. And I'm going to start going to church. And I visited it. They looked me right in my God-given eyeballs. And they said, what you got? It won't last 2 weeks. And you're going to be cussing us. You're going to be climbing in the side window at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. See, some of y'all had to be good. If you hadn't, your parents would beat you to death. My parents beat on each other. Hey, the kids just happened to be a side effect. If we got in the way, buddy, they beat on us too. That's what it was. I ain't proud of it. But I'm trying to tell you, America's going to hell because somebody won't tell the story and then, Brother Kevin, live it. I think it's just as wicked a sin to know Jesus and love Him and keep Him to myself and believe that you ought to do the same as it is to go out here and be unfaithful to this sweetheart that I've had for almost 55 years. See, we got a way of choosing sin, ain't we? Huh? Yeah, I don't drink, I don't cuss, I don't run with the guys that do, and the gals, well, all that stuff like they do, and all. But when it comes to it, but Jesus had some meat. Jesus was already involved in eating that meat while them boys was going to get some food. That's my first point, food. Huh? Therefore said his disciples, in verse 33, one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus said unto them in verse 34, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. His food was to do what? The will of him that sent me. Now, what was the will of him that sent our blessed and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ? It was to offer himself freely. Huh? He said, no man does what? Taketh my life from me, but I lay it down of myself that I can take it up again. Hey, he had one purpose, being born. Huh? The Father, and I love what Brother Harvey said this morning. Brother Harvey, hey, they discuss, if you go and read your Bible, the book of 1 Peter, I tell you that he was the Lamb of God. When? Forever, really. He just had to come down here and born and prove it to us. He just had to leave up yonder and be born of that Virgin Mary, live that sinless life, be made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Hey, what a Savior. That I might finish. This is my meat. My meat is to finish that will. He did that. I like that little word, don't you? In those seven sayings of Christ on the cross. One of them, he said what? It is finished. So if he finished it here on this earth and you want to eat Jesus' meat, let him do a work in you. If he'll do that work in you and through you, hey, you'll keep that smile in your heart that'll come out on your face. You'll keep the joy out of the... Hey, there's no greater joy for me than witnessing a lost soul. The biggest drunk, the lowest down, the one that's got the most criticism, the one you can't even tell if it's a man or woman because they got 5 million tattoos on top of each other. And Jesus loved them boys. You know the reason why you ain't got tattoos from your tongue down to your toes? Because you got saved. But some of you might have been beer drinkers like I was. You may have been. Maybe not that far to go. I still got one tattoo on me, son. I put that on when I was 13 because I'm mean and tough. Rick Boy Wicked is just about faded out. That's one of my homemade cheapest. And I keep that on my wrist there so I can be reminded how wicked and ungodly, how worldly I was. But you know what, son? Jesus reached down. He got lower than I was. You said, preacher, why did Jesus get lower than you were so he could get underneath me and pick me up, bring me up out of that mud, that mire? I'm telling you, what a Savior. He's eating meat that they know not of. He's wanting them to get hungry. He's wanting them to get thirsty. Has anybody brought him any meat? Hey, boy, I tell you, there's food there in it. He said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Verse 35, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Now, I got to studying that thing. I can't hardly get corn, Brother Don, in less than 105 to 110 days. When I let it go and to really get ripe, where, boy, I mean, the juice will run out of both sides of your mouth and all. It's getting mighty close to 4 months. Mighty close to 4 months there. And he says here, don't use that as an excuse, is what he's saying to them. Huh? That's what he's saying to his disciples here. There. Say not ye. There are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. There's your second or third F. Fields. I like that. And more than one of them. My field might be my field. But them mountain boys might have another field up there. And them boys, when you get down on the edge of them mountains where you was raised, son, I reckon down there where you pastored out there, foothills, huh? There, that'd be another field. Been a Mississippi redneck, he's got another field. A Cajun's got another field. Huh? A Black's got another field. A Choctaw's got another field. I mean, hey, there's all kind of fields. You ain't got no shortage of fields. You say, well, preacher, where's the shortage at in the laborers? You go over to what? Matthew chapter 9? And your commission and mine is to do what? Pray you the Lord of the harvest, that he'll send forth for the harvest, labors into that harvest. Every time the Lord has been so gracious and kind through all these years to let us start a new church. Nowadays, the dignified college boys call it church planting. We just used to call it starting a church. Okay? But they got it all high tech now. I mean, they got it wide open. Okay. But every time we've started one, I've said, Lord, where's my Timothy? Where's my Titus? Where's my Ronnie Owens? It'll take this little group that's wanting somebody at Chalmette or Muro or whatever and all of that. Hey, where's my Brent Norris at? Where's this one? Where's that one? Where's this one? Where's that one? What about some of you young men? I'm looking at some of you. I don't know if you're saved. I don't know if you're called to preach or what. But if you are, why don't you say, Lord, would you make me willing to be made willing? I knelt. I never will forget, Brother Kevin. Started that first church that we just went back 50 years ago. Brother Rue in Escatawa. Your buddy and mine, Brother Ronnie Sutton, preached a lot of meetings in that little work. 50 years ago, we just had to, back in November, the 50th anniversary. I got to go back for that service, one of the highlights of my life. But I remember going back, and I remember praying. From that time on, I said, now, Lord, where is the... When I realized I was supposed to leave the field of South Mississippi and go to the field of France, I said, Lord, where's your Timothy? Where's your Titus? Where is somebody? It's great to have a church full of preachers, but they can all be camped down in one spot, son. And never be willing to move out and do it. I think Turner's Creek in his past is one of the greatest churches. North Carolina, Gene Goodman there for all those years, and then Brother Barker, and then I come in for my little interim pastor there. But God bless that church so wonderfully. They never had a need. I never saw one around there. Got that $300,000 in the bank in the mission fund, Brother Kevin. And I said, man, what about them fields? F-I-E-L-D-S. That need a Timothy. Need a Titus. Need somebody to care. Need somebody to carry the Word of God to them, to preach the Word, to live a life so that those that they preach to can say and see that there is something. There is somebody really different in that life, huh, that missionary is bringing to them. I think 70 missionaries in 3 years we took on. Them boys, we had about 12, 15 of them out of the church there. Your brother was one of them as an evangelist. But those that were members of our church, there were 12, 15 of them. They were getting $125 a month. We raised it automatic. I hadn't been there 3 months. I said, hey, this ain't right. These boys is tithing back into this church. They're doing what every member ought to be doing, including them. I said, let's double it. I told my deacon, had 5, 7 greatest deacons I ever had in my life, Brother Ernie. I said, listen, let's raise them to 250. Yes, sir. And then we took on another 70 missionaries. You say, Bishop, why you do that? Because fields are ripe unto harvest. Somebody's got to get out there in that harvest field and be willing to be used of God. I'm just about through. Give me a couple of more minutes. I wanted to, I may take you there anyway, but here's fields. And then I see another one, fellow workers. Did you see that there? The Bible says here in verse 36, watch it now, how he's going to tie not just one person to another person, but there's going to be something that's there for everybody. Watch it. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit. That's another one. I don't have time to go with that. You want something on that right there? Just go in the same book to John chapter 15 and verse 16. And there John will tell us it was what kind of fruit. The fruit that remains. Amen? Fruit that remains. If God does it through you, and it ain't you, Brother Johnny, that's doing it. If God does it, hey, buddy, it will remain. I believe that with all my heart, soul, and being, Brother Don. If there's anything ever built for God, it's going to have to be built by God. Jesus said in John chapter 16 and verse 18, I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. That's been one of my life verses for the last almost 60 years now. You got to do it, Lord. You see it already done. Give me that vision. Give me that burden as you preach. Give me that desire. Give me that hunger. Give me that thirst. Amen. It's exciting for an old man, 78 and a half years old, Brother Kevin, to still want to do it again. I've been thinking about resigning where I'm at and going maybe back down to Cajun, Louisiana, at almost 80 years old, going to start a church. No, I've come to, really, we're starting over where we're at. You'll see that next week, preacher. The one that I'm at now was not started right. So we got to get the dead wood out and get live wood in. It's just like starting all over again. Sometimes when you start, you have a handful. Sometimes you'll preach to my wife about 3 out of the 6, 7 times now we've had to start over. I preached to her and the kids for 6 months. You say, that ain't a big congregation. You mean you preach to your wife and children? Hey, they need to go to heaven just as much as anybody else does, don't they? They need to learn how to live right, spit white, and be the kind of Christians they ought to be. I'm getting practice too. I'm getting help myself. I mean, that's what it's all about. Some of you need to get... Well, my wife's always careful when I get off on them rabbits. If you better do it. Okay. All right. Let me finish this thing. Preacher, have I got another five minutes or so? Okay. Good. He's the boss. Okay. Fellow workers, let's just read about them. And I'm closing here. He that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal. Verse 36. That both, I like that now. That both he that what? Soweth, and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true. One soweth, and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. other men labored, and you're entered into their labors. Now, I know in the context of that would mean that the Old Testament prophets and others have come before these apostles, these disciples. I know that. But let's bring it down to New Testament, where we live at. I'll close there with these verses with you. Turn 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's see how Paul, he doesn't modify. He just builds on that foundation that no other man can lay, which is Christ Jesus, right? Jesus laid the foundation here in chapter 4 of the Gospel of John. Now, Paul's going to explain and just do a little commentary, Brother Kevin, on what Jesus said there in John chapter 4. Man, I'm glad. You know, Paul never was trying to hurt Jesus. He was always trying to help him. Everything he learned that he had been transmitted to him by the other apostles and all that the Lord said, he just put that in the back of his memory, in the back of his heart. And he says, now as the Lord gives me more light on that subject, I'm going to develop it. And here's what he says right here in verse 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I like that. You're a preacher because God gave you to be that. Huh? You're a dishwasher because God gave you that. Huh? You're a sad, sour puss, always complaining, backbiting and all. Don't blame that on Jesus. But you shouting out, washing them dishes, cleaning them babies' behinds. I mean, whatever it might be, you said, just praising God. Learn how to do that. It'll make life a lot sweeter for you. I guarantee you. You'll live with a lot less complaints. I have to ask my wife if she's hurting. I see she's hurting sometimes. She won't tell me. It's great to be, if you're a man, really, this is rabbits, I know it. But if you're the right kind of man, ain't it good to be married to a sweet wife? Amen, buddy. It surely is. Well, I could go off on that one. But I better stay where I'm at. Okay, amen. There you go. Paul said in verse 6, I planted, Apollos watered. Thank God for his water boys. Amen. Hey, if you're not a planter, you water that seed that's been planted. You enter into that labor that wasn't your labor. That's becoming your labor as the Lord matures you and grows you and shows you what He wants to do in here and then with these hands, these feet, these eyes. Let Him develop you, okay? That's what I'm trying to say. Just let Him do work. He'll do a lot better than you can. He will. He promises you that He will. Well, this thrills my heart. Huh? Paul said in verse 7, I love this. I think that's the reason why, along Brother Jimbo, your brother, we had about 10, 12 more evangelists that we helped there at the Creek Church. I think we helped y'all's printing ministry some, didn't we, son? Should have anyway, if we didn't, I ask forgiveness. Brother Don, we helped you too and all. Hey, you say, preacher, why have such a vision? Why have such a heart? Why have such a burden, as our brother said? Why have such a compassion or desire? Because of Jesus. Amen. He's it. It's all about Him. It ain't about me. I could have gone to hell, Brother Ernest, and would have if He'd have left me alone. But He put the cares, you were asking me early. He put the care of my soul. I talked about that feed store a while ago. Felix Miller run that Purina Seed and Feed right there on that corner of that Main Street in Morris Point, right there where close to the courthouse and all of that there. That dear man, when you said that about that, I said, it's amazing. Here I was talking to somebody in a feed store about Jesus, and here I was as an 11-year-old boy, subtract that from 78, figure out how many years ago, when somebody talked to me in a feed store about Jesus. That thing sort of, what goes around, comes around. What goes around, goes around. I mean, hey, this is an exciting life. I don't want to live. Hey, I ain't ready to die yet. Are you on that number list? I ain't asked him to send a death angel after me. Just come give me another shot where for the fourth time I can get over COVID. Amen. Done beat it three times. I ain't ready yet. I ain't ready. He ain't ready. One of the two, brother. I don't know. He'll leave it out of him for long. Let me finish this. It's so good to be with you. Thank you, church, for letting me come back. I do. Honestly, I get down there somewhere in South Mississippi. Don't get away in many of these meetings like this, but hey, I tell you, one of these days will be the last one, won't it? Well, let's do what he says. Until then, I planted, Paul said, verse 6, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase, so then neither, that's neither is a Mississippi pronunciation. If you're a Yankee, they got to say neither, okay? So then neither, is he that planted anything, neither he that watereth, but God, I love that, that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. That ain't no big eyes in that, is it? No big eyes at all there, Brother Kevin. We're there together. You're in it together. Huh? And hey, if you support missions personally through your local church and you pray for missionaries, and you got a heart to say, Lord, if you don't want just prayers and you don't want, if you need my feet, if you need my eyes, if you need my hands, I'm willing, I'm ready to go. Hey, I'll tell you what, he'll put some peanut butter in your whatever to get you going. Hey, you mark it down. He knows if you're honest or not. If you ain't honest, he's going to leave you alone. But I knelt at Westside Baptist Church. Brother Crumpton was the pastor there. We started that first church on the coast there, as I said, 50 years ago. We've been there about 2 or 3 years, Brother Ernest. And I knelt down at that altar at Westside Baptist Church. And I heard that story about a missionary's daughter. And he was there, the missionary was. And how she got some kind of disease and it took her life. And how that they had a revival in that missionary school for those kids and all. And the missionary challenged me to pray a prayer. And I bowed my head, closed my eyes, and said, Lord, help me to be willing to be made willing. He said, preacher, what do you mean when he said, when you prayed, Lord, help me willing to be made willing. I meant it with my heart. It didn't take very long for that prayer to get answered. It didn't take very long for that surrender to take place. I learned in Vietnam there that he could have taken me on to heaven. But apparently I had not, as Gerald Smith, I heard his name mentioned earlier, I had not committed when I backslid and got out of the will of God. Wound up in Vietnam, I had not committed the sin and the death. That my body was still the temple of the Holy Ghost, that I was not my own, that I'd been bought with a price. And that I was to do what? To glorify God in my body and in my spirit, which are His. You say, I don't know about all of that. Hey, would you pray that simple prayer? Lord, make me willing to be made willing. Where we are laborers together, verse 9. He said, for we are laborers together with God. Thank God for that. Amen. Fellow laborers, what a fellowship divine. What a joy in our souls. What a peace that passeth all understanding. What a person that we can bow down to. As you said, brother, with our burdens, our heartaches. My little girl got in trouble. I wrote every pastor back here in America that supported us. Over 60 pastors, maybe 70. Told them what happened. 25 or 30 of them either got on the phone and called me or my wife. And told us that they were praying for, that they had walked through the same valleys. Some of the same burdens. I was on the end of the phone and I'd just weep. And I'd cry. And I'd say, Lord, make me more like Jesus. Help me to love my youngin' first. Like I ought to be the daddy. Now in time of trial is what have you. Hey, what's the need of your heart? What's the burden of your soul? Where are you at with Him? Where is He at with you? That's right. What about that tonight, Brother Ronnie?